Something for the weekend. It is Trina Mara here on Ireland's Classic Hits. And on the line, we have got author Melanie Blake. Morning, Melanie, how are you?
You can call me anything, I don't mind.
Yeah. Listen to me now. You have got a mad career to tell us all about, because you've worked as an agent who really reinvigorated the careers of some fading pop stars and some actresses. And now you've also written a book, which is called Ruthless Women. Who, first of all, have you looked after?
Oh, well, I mean, so I've had a bit of a really mixed career. I've had two careers, really. One when I was a music manager, where I reunited the Nolans for their huge 30th anniversary tour. And I worked with members of Steps, Vandal, Bros, Spice Girls. I could go on forever. And then I sort of reinvented myself as a comeback queen soap agent, where I specialised in basically bringing back soap stars that were no longer in their shows. So I brought Gillian Telfort back from the dead in EastEnders. I freed Claire King, Kim Tate from prison, got her back into Emmerdale. Daniela Westbrook, when she was well and looked fantastic back in 2009, I got her back into EastEnders. I've worked with Stephanie Beecham. I've got Beverly Callard. The Rovers returned back. I mean, how many more do you want me to? I could go on all day.
And is it hard? Like, they're all women that you... Do you primarily just look after women, is it?
Yes, I do, yeah.
Okay.
So I am, when I started, I was in my 20s and I'm in my mid-40s now. And I always had a passion for supporting older women. Now, obviously, I'm not saying being in your 40s is older, but it is when you're in your 20s. Mm. And I already could see that the industry was already treating those women quite badly back then, and that they needed a sort of champion. And I became that champion. I ended up being very successful for it. And now I am an older woman as such. I'm glad that I did do it, because now people don't get judged for their age until they're in their 50s. It still happens, but I bought them a little bit more time.
Yeah. Well, 50 is the new 40 and so on, isn't it? So
it wasn't back then, though.
No, I know.
It wasn't back then. I mean, it's 40, 20 years ago at 40 in television, you were in trouble.
God. That's crazy, isn't it? As if, like, there's no characters or no people in life. You don't exist once you hit 40. For these women, then, did they want to go back into these soaps that they'd maybe left or maybe they'd been pushed out of?
Absolutely. Well, in my novel, Ruthless Women, which is set on a fictional soap opera, what happens is a new producer comes in, as is always the way, and decides that they're going to reboot the show and get rid of basically the most popular characters. And guess why? Because they're older women. And that is what nearly always happens in shows. So all the shows that you watch on TV, all the soaps, whenever a new soap boss comes in, you know, your favorite character may go out because of their personal taste. But generally, it's generally the women that suffer the most. And I think the reason Ruthless Women has had such amazing reviews and has had so many people from the industry as well, which was a bit of a surprise because I didn't know if I'd like it or not, come out and support it, is because it shows the vicious backstabbing of what it's like to be in soap opera. What you see on screen is nothing compared to what goes on behind the scenes. I think the best review of it is that people call it the Devil Wears Prada of soap. And I've kind of opened that studio door to show the backstabbing that goes on before a single piece of dialogue can be filmed.
Because I've had some soap stars on the show before, but they never told me this bit. They just told me about
the long hours.
They're not allowed. They told me about the very long hours. I mean, they could be working 7 days a week, 12-hour days.
They work in factories.
Yeah.
They basically work in factories. So soap operas are factories. And what I hate most about anything is people that deride soaps and look down on soap actresses. Soap actresses are the best actresses in the world. They provide more than an Oscar winner can do in an entire lifetime in a week's worth of filming if they're given the right scripts. And they're not paid that much. They're famous forever. If you've been in a soap opera just for a year, you are known forever. And if you don't get another job, the public thinks they've got the right to basically like say, oh, didn't you used to be? I mean, it's like signing a deal with the devil, a soap opera. There's nowhere back. So once you're in, you need to stay. And then my other pet hate that I hate is the ones that leave and make it and become big stars like Sarah Lancashire, Joanne Froggatt, Jenna Coleman, stuff that then never participate in the celebrations of the shows that made them. Or let's look at Saran Jones, fabulous actress, but where is that new voice from? Oh, hello, Graham. Thank you so much for having me on the show. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's not her voice. It's like, be real. be real and celebrate the fact that we loved you for who you were, what you made it in, and don't thumb your nose at the success that put you where you are.
Can you tell me about some of the incidents where some of these women have been pushed out? I mean, what reason are they given? They're gone from the soap.
They're not given a reason.
They're not given a reason.
It's very subtle. What happens is, a new producer, say the character is a sexy character, subtle changes will start to come. Suddenly, no man will want her in the show. Suddenly, she won't have a boyfriend. Suddenly, her outfits will either get really muttonish or they'll get really frumpy. Or if she's got grandchildren in the show that maybe have never been a big part of the storyline, suddenly it'll be granny this, granny that. Do you understand what I mean? They start to erode at the character's zest, if that's what the character is known for. If the character is obviously a soft character, you can't do that to them because it's different. So they might make a soft character behave out of manner. So it depends how much the actor or actress really cares about their part, because some actors are so big that a producer can't get rid of them themselves. They have to make it so bad that the actress wants to leave. And that has definitely happened to Beverly Callard on Coronation Street. I know, I was there and she has spoken about it.
Oh my God. I was going to ask you about her because, you know, she played Liz McDonald for what, 30 years or something?
31
and then she
years.
She was just gone overnight. So what happened there?
Well, her exit is actually nothing to do with any of that, to do with the behind the scenes, anything bad at all, because that's to do with COVID. But in the past, when she left, oh God, it must be about 8 years ago, maybe. It was definitely a producer that wanted her out. I was there. They just ruined her character and just kept making her do things that she wouldn't do. And all behind the scenes, you know, he wanted his friend in the show and he wanted his friend in the Rovers. And, you know, that's fine. Show business is not called show friendship. It is called show business. But the thing is, we went out to lunch with this producer and he was just vile. But you know what? It was all great experience for me to learn how to write a brilliant book. And that is why people love it, because they never get to hear about these things. And of course, we did get justice, because 3 years later, when he left, as they always do, and I rang the new producer and we got her the Rovers return back, it was a very sweet victory for her to walk in back in her 6-inch heels and pull that pint of Newton and Middleys.
But in between that time, okay, a lot of these people that you represent, they've gotten back in, they've managed to get work again. What do they do in between? It must be awful for them. They must have no income.
We keep them working all the time. No, we keep them working, obviously, because my day job is as an agent. So, you know, Beverly, for example, went to tour in Little Voice, you know, that amazing play. She never stopped working. She worked all the way through. Or we might do reality shows with them, or if they're, you know, like if someone like Colleen Nolan, for example, if say she was off ITV for a couple of years, we'd do a fashion range, we'd do a tour, you know, they're famous forever. That's why I was such a great agent, because we knew that their market was always there as long as you didn't consider them to be older. What people don't understand about being an agent, and I was one of the most successful ones, is that you don't have to be cool to be popular. There's an obsession with the fact that, oh, the coolest person. Like, I'm not cool. The people that I represent are not cool. I've had a number one best-selling book. It looks like my new book, which is out this week, is going to number one. I had a play that sold out, and everyone that was in it, nobody's considered cool, but we broke box office records. And let's take that reference and bring us to the Nolans. When I did the Nolans reunion tour in 2009, I was turned down by 16 promoters who laughed in my face and said, "Who wants to see the Nolans?" And I said, a lot of women all over the country and the world, actually, that love them, have grown up with them and see them like they see themselves and would like to see what they're up to. And they were like, no, they would just want to see Kylie. They're not cool. And I was like, people want to see people that they care about. Anyway, 17th promoter was a woman at Universal. The tickets went on sale. They sold 2 million tickets in 24 hours. We're on the news at 10 and broke every box office record. Now tell me, is that cool or is that cool?
Just on Michelle Collins as well. She obviously was Cindy Beale in EastEnders, and she was also in Coronation Street, and we were all surprised
terrible,
when we saw her pop up there.
In Coronation Street.
She played Stella Price, the Rovers' return landlady. Now,
let's
did you get her sacked?
No, I didn't. No. I would never have that power to do anything like that. No, the producer that hired her left. And therefore, I don't know whether she left the show or whether she was at whatever, but the new producer that joined, obviously didn't want her in the Rovers. But to be fair, let's just be honest and call a spade on this. Michelle Collins was rubbish in Coronation Street. It's like she was brilliant in everything else she's ever done. But in Coronation Street, she was rubbish. As Beverly gave an interview about that and said that she thought that Michelle would have had a better time in the show had she not have gone into the Rovers, because it was too much for people to track. Because, I mean, you must remember the reception. It wasn't good, was it?
Are you Michelle's agent? No.
No, I'm not Michelle's agent.
I was going to say. I'm saying terrible
Michelle
things about her.
Yeah. Ago.
Do you have some sort of a personal problem with Michelle, or you just think...
I know Michelle's lovely. I know Michelle. She's lovely. And she's a brilliant actress. But do you think she was good in Coronation Street? No, I've got no problem with Michelle Collins at all. I think she's a brilliant actress. Just don't think she was any good in Coronation Street.
How did you convince them to take Danielle Westbrook back, given everything that was going on with her, the drug use the headlines?
That was a big triumph, because basically I had got a friend who recommended that Daniela was looking for an agent, and I was like, wow, Daniela Westbrook, we've not seen or heard of her in a long time. Is she okay? And a friend said, yeah, she's really well. She's been living in the country for 10 years, countryside, sorry, and she wants to come back. And I said, okay. So I went to meet her, and she looked absolutely beautiful. This was 2009, so about 11 years ago. I lose track of what year it is these days, but over a decade ago. And you know, you could not tell what she'd been through. You couldn't tell. She was stunning. Absolutely stunning. She was so lovely. I love Daniela. So I met her and I said, are you well? Are you sure? Do you want to come back? And she was like, yep, I'm ready. I want to come back. So I basically did a big photo shoot with her to celebrate that she was back, put her in the press. And that very same day, I emailed the bosses of EastEnders and said, look, he's back and she wants her job back. And I got a reply back straight away from the producer saying, very interesting. So we knew the game was on. Anyway, that night was a big television award show. Now, her role, Sam Mitchell, had been recast with another actress, so it's very hard to get a part back. But the other actress had actually left the show and had had a baby. So she wasn't on maternity leave. She had left the show and had a baby. So she was kind of out of the headlines at the time. But this actress obviously heard that Daniela was back on the scene and maybe that this role was going to be recast. So she got herself to this award ceremony that Daniela and I were at, and both of them were on the red carpet at the same time. And it was like watching a showbiz war. And Daniela walked up to her and said, I just want you to know, all fair in love and war and business, and whoever gets the part, if it gets recast again, best luck to her. And then she winked and went, I'm going to race you for it, though. And then within a week, Daniela had the role. And she was amazing. She was in it for a year with me, and she never put her foot wrong. I never saw a thing that happened with Daniela after she sadly left us and went to Max Clifford. We all know the Max Clifford story. Mm. And things went horribly wrong for her. But I am still friends with Daniela. She's a really lovely person, and I only ever wish her well.
And does she still want to act?
I couldn't. Yes, she definitely would want to act. Yeah, for sure. Daniela is an actress. In the book, one of the characters has two of the characters have major addiction problems. And I definitely drew on the experience of that, because Daniela is an addict, which is terrible because it has derailed her life. She's a really... Have you ever met her or spoken to her?
Never actually, Daniela, but I have done for a lot of others. Yeah, yeah. And
so
then,
she's lovely. It's tragic. It's very tragic.
Is that something that you would have seen a lot in the industry that you're in? Like people messing up by doing something like that, by getting involved in drink and drugs or whatever it happened to be, and then the career kind of went down the tubes?
Do you know what? Actually, there's a lot of drink and drugs and stuff. Well, not now, I imagine, because of lockdown, but like in the heyday, but it's more sort of like wild party. No, there's not a lot of Daniela. It's a really tragic situation, that, because most people overcome it. You know, most soap stars have addiction problems, overcome them and come back from it. I mean, we know so many that have been alcoholics or drug addicts or whatever and stuff like that. But she is an extreme case. I mean, it's a miracle that she is alive, what she's been through. For me, the tragedy is that, like, did you watch her return to EastEnders in 2009?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, yeah.
She was brilliant, wasn't she?
So long ago now, I'm trying to remember.
It really came alive on screen.
When you're, though, dealing with the shows, are they saying to you, oh, I don't know, Melanie, now, like, she was unreliable before, or this happened and that happened? Do we really want to get
100%.
Into that again?
Yes, that was the first question. Is she well? Is she well? And she had been well. She was well for 10 years. You know, let's not take that away from her. 10 years of sobriety is a lot. for someone that's got an addiction problem. I mean, I'm very lucky. I've never suffered with any sort of addictions like that. I can't ever imagine what it must be like. You know, I know a lot of people that are alcoholics and a lot of people that have those things, and I wouldn't wish it on anybody. It is an addiction, not a choice.
Sherry Hewson then, who went on, of course, to do Loose Women and all those shows, but she started in Coronation Street. What happened with her?
She was fired. And she was fired because the producer didn't like her. And it was personal and it was wrong. And Brian Park, and I will name him because he's talked about it and bragged about it, so there's nothing to hide here, made no secret of the fact that he wanted to be known as the Axe Man on Coronation Street. He didn't like her character and he got rid of her. And her character was one of the most popular characters on the show. And it was tragic. I knew her at the time. I represented her for years. I love Sherry. She's absolutely lovely. She's a brilliant actress. That shows show business just sometimes isn't fair. I mean, she has had an amazing career, but her Coronation Street career was cut short, definitely, by somebody's personal taste.
Do they end up hating the show then and they'll never ever watch it?
I actually don't know. Most of them don't watch the show they're in anyway because they can't watch themselves on screen.
Is there confidence issues there then as well if they can't watch themselves?
I don't know. I think it's a combination of most actors in my experience have got very high confidence but low self-esteem. Do you understand what that is? There's a mix. Quite a difficult one because basically you believe that you're good enough to do things that other people can't do, but then you sort of are really critical about yourself.
They're kind of faking
it
almost.
You're insecure and confident. It's a weird mix.
And a lot of them, I guess, don't mind going on camera, but when it comes to doing an interview or something like that, they're terrified.
Well, I think so. And I think that's why I've been sat. I mean, I don't know whether you saw, but like, I had like 3 or 4 front covers, which is unheard of for an author and an agent. And it's because I've been so candid and open. You know, you ask me a lot. I mean, this is a great interview. You're asking me really probing questions. Like, you know, and you asked me like earlier about if I had a problem with Michelle Collins. No, I was just being honest. I was being honest about the fact of like, she wasn't good in Coronation Street. And lots of other people are not good in other things. I mean, you seemed quite shocked when I said that and asked me if it was personal. And that just shows you that people just don't say what they really think. Because that isn't a personal thing. It's just an absolute observation. If I see a red car in the street, I'm not going to say it's green.
Do you not worry, though, that you're going to bump into these people and they're going to say, come here, you, Melanie Blake. What were you saying about me on the radio?
No, because I haven't said anything that anybody hasn't already said and it wasn't already in the papers. But everybody said that at the time, you know, and I've coloured it with other opinions of like, you know, I checked with Danielle or I spoke to Gillian Telforth. I told a lot of stories. I said that Gillian Telforth has terrible taste in men and that every man that she's been with has been a rotten man. I mean, I said that. I asked her. She said it was fine because she said it's true.
So in this book,
I'm
then,
shocking you today. Aren't
you are.
I?
You are because you're not holding anything back. This book is fiction. Am I right or am I wrong?
Let's call it faction.
Faction, right? Okay.
Because this book could only be written by someone. This is Stephanie Beecham's quote, by the way. This book could only be written by someone that has seen what it's really, really like inside the soap bubble. And it is vicious. It is backstabbing. It is bonking. It is betrayal. It has got everything in it. And so is the soap world. Every woman is out for herself. There are very rarely groups of friends behind the scenes because it's a war. And this book focuses on a group of women that work on the show, which is slightly different to them being in the show. And the subplot is the actresses that want to get on the show. So basically the show is about a show that's been on air for 39 years and it's struggling in the ratings. So they decide they're going to cast a new woman to come in and be the big star of the show. And the opening scene is the male producer saying, okay, so she's going to be like 25. And the casting director says, no, she has to be 50. She's got to be a woman. She has to have gravitas. And the opening line of him, who is the producer, says, I don't want some old mutton. We need lamb. Because the whole point is that men in soaps are so sexist about women. And when that book was first previewed, I got about 50 emails from 50 different people saying, is this man now in the show, in the book, Ruthless Women, on the soap opera Falcon Bay, where they work, they have a showrunner. All shows have a showrunner. And I got 50 emails all asking if this man that I wrote about in the book was a real person. Now, do you think that those 50 emails all have the same name in them?
Right, okay.
Do you?
Are you ruthless?
No, but do you?
I wouldn't say so, no.
No, there were 50 different names.
Yeah.
Right, that's the point. That is how bad it is.
Yeah.
There were 50 different names that people thought could be that man.
Do you think you're ruthless yourself in business, Melanie?
In business, absolutely. In my personal life, no. I'm soft as anything in real life. Like, I'd help anybody. But at work, you've got to be. You have to be ruthless. It's a game of dancing on the tiger's cage covered in meat. That's what it's like. Everyone's trying to eat you.
And nobody is friends in show business.
Oh, no, there are friends in show business. I just said I don't think that people that necessarily work together are always friends. Lots of friends in show business are friends, but they just don't necessarily, it doesn't necessarily mean they're colleagues. Sometimes I think they probably just get sick of each other because they're stuck in a tin can all day filming.
Well, Melanie, we'll leave it there. The book is called Ruthless Women, and I know you're going to be doing a load of events as well, aren't you, with Beverly Callard?
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Oh, yeah, we're doing it's on Fane. Google it. We're doing a girls' night in where you can basically, you get a copy of the book and you get to join me, Beverly, Jacqueline Gold from Anne Summers, because this is a very sexy book, and the lovely Colleen Nolan. And we both are going to be talking about sexism, ageism, what it's like behind the scenes in showbiz, and just having a good old gossip, really. A bit like we've been doing today. But maybe I'll shock them a bit less.
Yeah. Well, listen, Melanie, thank you very much for taking our call today, and the best of luck with the book.
I loved it.
Cheers. Thanks,
Melanie.
Make
sure you read it. Take care.
It's Something for the Weekend on Ireland's Classic Hits.